Please, hymn number 629.
And stand when you find it, please. Love Lifted Me, 629.
629, Love Lifted Me. Shall we stand together and sing? Love Lifted Me. I hope that's true of you this morning.
Now I will sing the deep and sin.
Thank you.
special from Our Lady's Tree.
Precious than any other, this side of heaven's door, a place where we love one another, a shelter in time of storm. And though it's a treasure, this home's not forever. I long for the life that's waiting beyond, where no one will ever be hungry or cold, where no one will hurt or will ever grow old. No one will die and leave someone alone. That's when I'll know I'm home. There is a place where truth will always be spoken and promises can be believed. A place where your heart can't be broken and loved ones will never leave. So if you are longing for a place of belonging, the home that you dreamed of is waiting for you, where no one will ever be hungry or cold, where no one will hurt or will ever grow old. No one will die and leave someone alone. That's when I'll know I'm home forever. No pain or disease. All will be equal and all will be free. True love will come and will fall at his feet. That's when I'll know I'm home. And finally I'll see with the darkness erased, not through a glass, but then face to face.
Hungry
That's when I'll know. That's when I'll know.
I'm home.
That's when I'll know I'm home. That's when I'll know I'm home. I'll know I'm home. I'll know I'm home.
How many years like that you think about somebody? Good, isn't it? Amen. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I thought this week would be maybe more appropriate for a morning type message. Galatians chapter 5. A little bird just told me a moment ago that it's also Mrs. Dorkson's birthday today.
So happy birthday, Mrs. Dorkson. And by a strange coincidence, she too is 39. One day younger than Shirley. So, amen. So praise the Lord, happy birthday, we rejoice with you.
Galatians chapter 5. If the Lord is willing and leading in the same direction tonight, we'll be talking about Israel a little bit and what God says in his word about that promised land and who it belongs to and how it belongs to Israel. And so we're just going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And I encourage you right now, if you're watching the news, pray for Israel. And every nation that is against them is just vowing their annihilation right now. And we know that that won't happen. We know that God will preserve them and take care of them. But it's a precarious position nonetheless. And so let's be in prayer for Israel. Galatians chapter 5, I want you to direct your attention to verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, right near the end of the chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. Joy, we looked at that last Sunday night. And this morning, we're going to look at that third word, peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful so much for the peace that God gives. Thankful, Lord, that we can know it through Jesus Christ. Father, there's some folks here today that need your peace. We're thankful, Lord, that we've observed the peace of God in their lives. But Lord, there's so many more that are hurting. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them to understand how we could obtain this peace of God. Father, I need your help. May the Spirit of God help me today. Fill me with thy Spirit. I surrender to you. And Father, may you be able to communicate these truths with your Holy Spirit from your word to our hearts today. Such an important topic, Lord, that we can learn how to have peace in this wicked world. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about the peace that God gives in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is peace. You'll remember last week we looked at the fruit of the Spirit is love and then joy. And as I looked up that word joy, I found that the word joy there had 8 different words in the Bible that were translated as the word joy. But the word that we found in Galatians chapter 5 was a divine joy. It was a joy that was imparted from God. It was a little bit different than some of the other words that we find as joy in the Bible in both Hebrew and Greek. And you know, the word peace this morning is very similar in that it too has 8 different words that were translated in the Bible as peace. And God made no mistake, for this word peace also means a divine peace or a peace that comes from God. And so it's very similar in its objectives when it comes from the word joy and peace. They both are divine. They both have a divine origin. They both come from God. This word peace that we find in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it literally means this: the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. It's the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. It's the peace that comes from having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's the peace that only Christ can give, and we are assured of salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, it was just a couple weeks ago at our anniversary banquet that the Weidrich family was called in to Brother Art's side. And one of the singers from the Calvary Quartet, Brother Terry, he's the fellow that kind of leads everything. And he was talking to me after. He said, I noticed some folks were getting up and you were running out and talking to them. He says, is everything okay? Is there something we can pray about? And I said, well, there's a fellow in our church. He's not doing very well tonight. And I said, they've called the family in. They're not sure what's going to happen, but they've said he doesn't have very much time. And he says, does he know the Lord? I said, oh, he knows the Lord. He's saved. He's been part of our church for years and years and years. He says, do you really think you can threaten him with heaven? Do you think that scares him, the thought of going to heaven? I said, no, I don't think so. See, that's the kind of peace that God can give. You can't threaten me with heaven. You can't scare me with streets of gold and mansions in the presence of Christ. That's the kind of peace that God gives. And that's what this word is referring to. Of all the words that God could have used for the word peace and translate to the word peace, this one really means a tranquil state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ. Knowing God and knowing the presence of God in your life, this was the same type of peace that the angels wished for when they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's the same, exact same Greek word that was used there, peace. In other words, Jesus Christ has come that you might have salvation through his holy name. That's the kind of peace that the angels wished upon the earth. The tranquil state of the soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ. This peace only came because of Jesus. Do you remember that woman with the issue of blood? She clambered through the crowd and finally she just reached through. And she grabbed the hem of Christ's garment. When Jesus Christ turned around, he said, daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he said, go in peace. Again, that's the exact same word. She was to leave that place knowing that her soul was now saved because she had put her faith in Jesus Christ. And she had the assurance and that tranquility to know that Jesus Christ would see her through. Christ's faith, her faith had made her whole, but now she had that peace of God in her life. You know, Christ wasn't asking her to leave when he said, go in peace. He was saying, from this day forward, you can have the peace of God in your life. I wonder today if there's somebody here saying, you know, I need that kind of peace. My life seems to be up and down, and I don't have any assurance in my soul, and I'm scared all the time of every little thing. I've observed Christians as they've stood beside the bed of a loved one that is dying, and they just seem to lose all control. They have no peace whatsoever. I wonder what is lacking in their salvation. For Christ is peace. I want you to turn to John chapter 14 this morning. We're going to look at some things. You know that the word peace isn't exclusive to Galatians chapter 5? We find in John chapter 14 the promise of peace. The Lord Jesus Christ himself promised that we could have peace. Look with me, if you will, in verse 27. Of course, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In this statement that the Lord Jesus makes, we have the promise of peace that is always accessible. You say, well, I'm struggling, preacher. I'm having a hard time coming to grips with something or terms of something, and I just feel like my life has no comfort, no peace, no tranquility whatsoever. I'm here to tell you it's just as far away as Jesus Christ is. If you can just breathe out a prayer, if you can just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you and pray and give utterance on your behalf, friends, I'm here to tell you, peace can sweep over your life. You say, well, you're pretty young. You don't understand all this stuff. I'm here to tell you that I may be young, but we've gone through some things. We've understood. We understood back in 1996 what it was to feel like I don't even want to go to church. The church was falling apart and splitting, and there was divisions in the church. And we understood what it was like to have no peace in the house of God. When I was just 33 years old, my father went home to be with the Lord. And the first thing I came back to our church, and I got up in the pulpit, and I said, you know, as difficult as this has been a good lesson for a young pastor. Because I better knew how to minister to others that had gone through that trial. I understand what it's like to lose grandparents and parents and not just lose them, have to stand up and preach to an unlost family their funeral service. And I'm not trying to say that I'm some sort of hero. I'm trying to say that it was during those times that we experienced the peace of God. We couldn't understand it. But it just seemed like there was an utter calm. You could sit by the bedside, you knew what was going to happen, and yet you could just feel the peace of God in your life. It was just a prayer away. The presence of God was so real. That's because Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth." Listen, friend, there's nothing in this world that can offer you the peace of God. There's nothing that'll get you through a difficult time like the presence of Christ in your life and walking in the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing. You know, you say, "Well, I don't know if I have any trials, and I don't know if there's anything on the radar." I'm telling you, it's just a phone call away. Your life can change in a second. Just some little bit of bad news, just a trip to the doctor and find out that something is drastically wrong in your body. Friends, that peace can just be shattered. But if you're holding on to Jesus Christ, if you're reaching out to Him and understanding that He left you peace, peace that He gives, not the world gives, and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I'm here to bring you peace." The peace that comes from God, it's promised unto us. You know, the Bible says that we can vex the Holy Spirit. We can shun the Holy Spirit. We can lie to the Holy Spirit. We can sin against the Holy Spirit. And it's in those times that it's when we know no peace. It's when the Holy Spirit has been grieved and vexed and shunned in our lives and we've sinned against Him, because the fruit of the Spirit is peace. You say, "Well, I really need some peace." If you're a child of God today, let me say this: get walking in the Spirit again. Come back to Him today. Make right whatever it is, that thing you've done in your life that hinders His work in your life, because that's the only thing that'll do it, is your walk with God. Get back with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, just turn over a page. The Lord Jesus Christ had a lot to say. He was about to leave the earth, and so for several chapters we read about what He is instructing His disciples in. John chapter 16, verse 33. The Bible says, "These things I have spoken unto you." I want you to remember that phrase: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The Lord Jesus Christ was trying to assure His disciples of some things. And He says, "Here's the reason I have spoken these things unto you," or "these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." I want you to notice the Lord Jesus Christ for several chapters had been preparing the disciples, all for this reason, that when He was taken from this earth, when He died on a cross, that they could still have peace. He said, "Well, what is it that He spoke?" Well, if we back up a bit in John chapter 13, we find that Christ is with the disciples in the upper room. Judas has just left to betray the Savior, and Jesus reveals that He's leaving. In John chapter 14, He begins to say to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The promise of God was given to the disciples that He was just going away for a while. He was preparing a place, but that He would come again. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You see, as the Lord Jesus tells them He's leaving, He begins to give them promises. In John chapter 15... they must have been still wondering in their heart, how can we have this relationship? Jesus Christ is moving on, and how can we still know the peace of God? And He says this to them: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Look at verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." In John chapter 16, He reassures them again and again of the coming role of the Holy Spirit. And finally, He declares to them in verse 33, "You can have peace." You see, for several pages, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was just telling the disciples in one way or another, in some form or another, he just kept saying to them the same theme over and over again. I'm going to give you peace. I'll leave it with you. But you have to abide in me and I'll abide in you. And my words will abide in you. Stay in the Word of God. You need to keep remembering the promises of Scripture. I'm not gone forever. I've just gone to prepare a place. And I'll come again to receive you unto myself. That's where we draw real peace, is in the presence and the promises of God. The promise of peace. I want you to notice in John chapter 16, verse 33. Again, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. Now look what it says. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. How dare we blame things on God when things go wrong? The Bible says in the world, you'll have tribulation. But in Christ Jesus, you'll have peace. You see, God is not the author of sin. He is not our tempter. He is not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace. And yes, we're going to have tribulation because we are in this flesh and our bodies are still living in this world and we are going to be exposed to all the things of this world. But friends, I'm here to tell you, that's not of God. The Bible says that we can have peace through Him. The promise of peace is ever before us. I was sitting with Norma yesterday at the luncheon, and I said to her, I said, you know, I said, even if Brother Wiedrich hadn't been sick, you know, it was kind of a relief. The Lord took him home, and he wasn't suffering any longer. I said, but even if he was totally healthy and the Lord took him home, I said, he doesn't have to work out in those cold winters anymore. He doesn't have to plow out in the hot sun anymore. You know, he knows all about the curse because the thorns and the thistles is what he dealt with his whole life, tilling the ground. That's all gone. That's the tribulation of this world. Now all he knows is the peace of God. You see, what a deliverance. But the Bible says you don't have to wait to heaven to get that. You can know it now in Christ Jesus. Have a relationship with Him. That's the promise of peace. But I want you to notice the purpose of peace. You say, well, why do we need it? John chapter 14 tells us, I don't know that, that's just a rhetorical question. We all know why we need it, don't we? We all understand why we need this relationship with Christ. Maybe there's somebody here today that's not saved. You've never entered into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, you need Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that there's a real place called hell. And people that are lost and dying without Jesus Christ will find themselves in a place called hell. You say, is that really what God wants? No, God doesn't want it. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. And so He sent His Son to die on a cross and pay the price for your sins. That you too can have eternal life if you'll just trust Him. But that's what you must do, is come to Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 14, verse 27. We've read this verse before, but I want you to notice the purpose of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Look at the next phrase. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the purpose of peace. So that God's children would not have to be afraid. I heard a song a long time ago. And I don't remember all the words, but if I can just kind of paraphrase. It's a song about a father and his little boy, and a lightning storm came, and so the boy was scared. And so dad went into the little boy's room, and the chorus is, hush, everything's going to be all right. And he begins to speak peace to his son and try to encourage his son. I just had to do that with Brennan last night, you know, 15 years old, still going to his room and comforting him. No, I'm just kidding. But then the next verse talks about our Heavenly Father. And the father leaves his little boy's room. And he says, you know, there's been a lot of times my father's had to do that for me. He's had to come by my side and say, hush, everything's going to be okay. What a picture of what our Heavenly Father does. Just takes us in His arms and gives us peace. You know, I remember as a boy, it was funny. You know, as a kid, we pray for carnal things sometimes. And I remember we were planning on going back to the forest behind my mom's place and just camping out for the night with my dad and Wade and I. And it was a terrible rainstorm at about 5 o'clock. This is terrible. And I thought, oh, man. You know? And so I started praying. I was just, I don't know how old I was. I was about 10. And so I started praying, Lord, would you just stop this rain? We had this, we want to go camp. Well, at 6 o'clock, by the time Dad got home from supper, it was bright and sunshining. Oh, that's awesome. So we went out and we went camping. And we went back there. Well, wouldn't you know, it was the first night of trout season. And the Lynn River runs right through that property. And so we hadn't thought about it, but we went back there and we were camping out. And all of a sudden I hear guys hooting and hollering and they're drinking and they're... And I can remember thinking right away, I'm sure glad Wade and I didn't come back here by ourselves. I'm glad Dad's here. Because we were scared to death. And there were times that Wade and I would go, maybe not back in the woods, but we'd go camping out behind the house or whatever, you know, and thought we were big shots. And we were 15 feet from the back door. But I can remember thinking, boy, I'm glad Dad's with us. Because we were scared with all the things that were going on in the woods that night. That's the promise we have of Christ. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give unto you. Peace, not as the world gives, giveth I unto you. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ saw the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered abroad. What's that mean? It means they had no peace. They were lost, they were undone, and they were running around like sheep without a shepherd. And Christ was moved with compassion. He said, I just want to give them some peace. They were wandering, looking for something to fill them. Jesus Christ said, I've come to preach the gospel of peace. It is tonic for the troubled soul. Fear is the very direct opposite of having peace. We ought to fear no evil. The Bible says that Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. He was not fearful of death because he had the sweet peace of God. The purpose of peace is that your heart will not be troubled. Now look at the next thing. It's peace that not as the world giveth. Another purpose of peace is so that you might have a testimony in this world. It's not peace the world gives. You're vastly different than they are. I told you just last week about the funeral of Madeline Patterson and this dear saint of God as she's lying there in the funeral home and people coming in and visiting and rejoicing in a life well lived. But right across the hall was a teenager that had committed suicide and people were screaming at the coffin and angry and weeping and wailing. Friends, there's a difference between us and them because of the peace that God gives. That's what the world has, something else. But we are to be different than the world. The Bible says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. You know, the world doesn't understand it. It's a peace that passes all understanding. I'm so thankful that I don't have to face this world without the peace that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. We see also today the path to peace. Turn back to Luke chapter 1. You know, it's important that we know how to get it. We know how to possess it. There's times coming. You say, well, everything's going just hunky-dory, preacher. Well, I'm telling you, there are going to be trials in this life. There's going to be times. I was talking to Marlene the other day, and she said, you know, a couple months ago, I would have never thought in a million years I'd be sitting here today. It just takes just a couple weeks, a couple days, a couple moments, and things can change. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform... the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of his life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Now, Zacharias is talking, of course, about his son, John the Baptist. But now we see a fundamental shift in what he's talking about in verse 78. He says, through the tender mercy of our God. Salvation in verse 77 is because of the mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. God in the flesh has come. Verse 79, to give light to them that sin in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet, look at that phrase, into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, was in the deserts to the day of his showing unto Israel. John the Baptist was to come to prepare the way of the Lord, and Jesus Christ was to come to show us the way of peace. So what is the way? He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want salvation, he is the way, the truth, and life. If you want grace, he is the way, the truth, and life. If you want peace, he is the way. And by the way, he's the only way. Because he gives peace, not as the world giveth, but only he can give. The path to peace is through Jesus Christ, through the remission of sins. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, your thoughts dictate a lot of how much the Holy Spirit works in your life. The Bible, I already read Philippians chapter 4, where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. Then it goes on and talks about those minds. It says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, I have been in nursing homes where I find that people have absolutely no peace. It's because they can't shut their minds off. They are constantly thinking about everything in this world that's negative. It drives them absolutely crazy. They can't get over the death of a loved one. They can't get past financial struggles. They're worried about, how can I pay for this nursing home? It's $2,500 a month. And they worry and they worry and they worry and they worry and they have no peace. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure and right and honest and just, think on these things. Fill your minds and your hearts with the things of God. We sing that old chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. You say, is that scriptural though? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's not worried about things. He said, they're just things. I'll take care of those. Put me first, and I'll take care of it. I want you to notice one more thing today, and that's the passing of peace. Can you lose your peace? You can. You can't lose your salvation. You can't lose the presence of God in your life. But as we said before, we can vex the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We shun the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is not working to his full potential in our lives because of the sin that we commit, or because of the attitudes that we have, or because we're not filling our lives with the right things, then certainly we can lose that peace when we need it. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's a decision that you make, isn't it? You are giving permission. You are letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Galatians chapter 5, we've been studying, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a choice we make, that we're going to walk in the Spirit of God. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm here to tell you, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says that peace is a fruit of that Spirit. And so we must walk in him. We must be filled with him. We must make the choice that we're going to let God minister in our lives. Do you know we take the reins from the Holy Spirit sometimes, and then when we do that, we lose the peace we have in our lives. He said, well, how do I do that? When we say, well, I'm tough enough, I can deal with this myself. I can handle this situation. I don't need any trouble. I don't need help from the Lord. You might not just come right out and say that, but your attitude reflects that. But we can do all things through Christ. We must surrender. We must be broken before God and trust the Holy Spirit of God to do the work. And then we will know what real peace is all about. Revelation chapter 6 says this. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to do this: take peace from the earth. And they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Peace can be taken. Peace can be fleeting. But if we will surrender to the Holy Spirit of God, and allow the Spirit of God to be filled in our lives and have the full reins and control. You know, listen, do you know that there's no shame in admitting your weakness? Listen to me, young people. Let's sit up. We're almost done here. There's no shame in admitting weakness. I mean, sometimes it's like men having to stop and ask directions. We're ashamed to do that, aren't we, fellas? But there's no shame in admitting that we're weak and we need help. Especially when we're casting our cares upon Him. That's His desire. And I'm here to tell you, now it might be foolish. It might be foolish for you to ask for somebody to help you that's weaker than you. Understand what I'm saying? I remember a time I had to ask somebody to help me do something. We were moving a baptistry. When we rented a building, we had a portable baptistry. And it was made of aluminum, I guess, and it wasn't too heavy, but it was a big monstrosity of a thing, and we would put it in the middle of the floor, we'd fill it up, and we'd baptize people, and then we'd empty it and take it out. And so I asked the guy to help me. I said, "Man, I need some help carrying this baptistry." And that guy, I didn't realize how weak he was. He couldn't. I said, "Well, you take." He tried to lift it up, and just by, we didn't choose or anything, but he got the heavy end of it. Because the one end had a sitting area, so it wasn't as deep, and just had some feet underneath it. So I went, and we just grabbed the thing. He says, "I can't lift this." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, switch me ends. This is the lighter end." And I went down there. I mean, literally, the whole contraption, you could have carried it yourself. It was aluminum. It wasn't very heavy. But it's just too awkward for one person. You'd have to slide it or something. So I said, "Okay, I'll get that end." He went to the other end. He couldn't lift it either. And I thought, here I am getting help from somebody that has no strength. I'll tell you, do you know what happened? The fellow says, I'm sorry, preacher, I can't help you. He was a 50-year-old man, and he was in the prime of his life. He should have been able to lift it with one hand. My wife came along and picked it up. And she helped me carry it in. But you know, we're not going to somebody who's weak. We're going to the Almighty, all-powerful God. You say, "God, I just can't handle this." He says, "I'll give you peace." It's like He's just waiting to hear our cry because He wants to help us. But if we think we can fill ourselves with self and we can be self-sufficient and we can be self-sustaining and we can take care of all of our own needs, you won't experience it. But if you'll be filled with the Spirit and let Him have control of your life, you can know real peace. For the world, peace is something that they only dream about. For the believer, it is a reality that comes from knowing Christ and walking in the Spirit of God. Let me give you this song in closing. This song just keeps asking questions. I heard it a while ago. I really liked it. It says this: "How does it feel to know you're a child of the King, that your heavenly Father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night, to know heaven is real? Tell me, friend, do you know how it feels?" Well, salvation is not a feeling. You understand that? Well, let me tell you this, salvation feels good. There's a peace in knowing Christ. How does it feel? It feels great to know that we are safe in Christ Jesus and we can have His peace. Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand and give us the peace of God that passes understanding. Father, maybe there's some here today that don't have that peace because they don't know Christ as Savior. Would you speak to them today before it's eternally too late? Would you bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Father, maybe there's others here today that peace is fleeting. Because they're not walking in the Spirit, or they're not filled with the Spirit, and they struggle with their walk with God. Would you strengthen them? Help the commitment that they're going to be people of the book, that they're going to be people of prayer, that they're going to have that relationship with the Lord that will extend to them real peace, especially in those times of need. Father, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand this morning as we move to our invitation time. If God has spoke to your heart, this altar is open. But I know I'm